This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And if you were looking for separation of church and state today in Washington, D.C., you wouldn't have found it on Capitol Hill. The Roman Catholic Vicar of Christ spoke to the secular U.S. House and Senate, two bodies dedicated to the idea that governments endorse no churches and churches have no role in governments, a nation supposedly suspicious of kings and all leaders wearing strange hats. Yet, with lawmakers sitting at rapt attention, Pope Francis, in a historic speech, spoke of a global partnership of faith and will to confront the problems of the world. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, was there.
Well, I was in the House chamber for the Pope's appearance today. It was a packed house where a beaming speaker, John Boehner, directed the proceedings and really seemed to forget, at least for a while, the deep divisions that threaten his own job right now. It was a strictly limited audience, one guest per member, no former members allowed. But if you scan the room, you saw the cardinals and archbishops from all over the country. Newt Gingrich was across the way. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie sat just a few feet away. And so did presidential candidate Dr. Ben Carson. He was a guest of a South Carolina congressman, he told me. Well, they all heard the Pope deliver a message of peace and the kind of economic critique the world has come to expect from Pope Francis, of capitalism without regard to the poor or the disadvantaged or the environment.
Now is the time for courageous action and strategies aimed at implementing a culture of care and an integrated approach to combating poverty, restoring dignity to the excluded, and at the same time, protecting nature.
Now, the Pope used his American audience to invoke Americans who he said valued freedom, Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King. Representative John Lewis of Georgia was visibly moved when the Pope mentioned Selma, Alabama, and the marches there that Lewis was part of in the civil rights movement. But the Pope may have surprised some people by highlighting Dorothy Day. She was the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, a convert to Catholicism, born in Brooklyn, a staunch, at times radical, advocate for the rights of the poor. Day was a bohemian and a suffragist, a socialist, and a hunger striker.
In these times, when social concerns are so important, I cannot fail to mention the servant of God, Dorothy Day, who founded the Catholic Worker Movement. Her social activism, her passion for justice and for the cause of the oppressed were inspired by the gospel, her faith, the example of the saints.
Now, it might not surprise you to know that the Vatican has already opened up beatification proceedings for Dorothy Day that are likely to one day soon make her an American saint. But let's be honest, this was a political crowd, after all. Members were asked, told, in some ways, not to applaud in a partisan way like they do for the cameras at the State of the Union. I got to say, that went out the window pretty quickly, though it wasn't nearly as partisan as usual. Now, you didn't hear the word abortion, but you did hear this.
The Golden Rule also reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life at every stage of its development.
You didn't hear the words climate change, but you did hear this.
I call for a courageous and responsible effort to redirect our steps and to avert the most serious effects of the environmental deterioration caused by human activity.
You didn't hear the words immigration reform, but you did hear this.
In recent centuries, millions of people came to this land to pursue the dream of building a future in freedom. We, the people of this continent, are not fearful of foreigners because most of us because most of us were once foreigners.
Now, the Pope called for the abolition of the death penalty directly, drawing one congresswoman right out of her seat. Listen.
This conviction has led me from the beginning of my ministry to advocate at different levels the global abolition of the death penalty.
Now, that yelp you heard there was Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez of New York. She quickly sat back down and seemed a little flustered by her own outburst. But there were audible murmurs in the room. It was quite a moment. Maybe the cameras didn't pick them up. When at the heart of the Pope's economic critique was an attack on profit from the global weapons trade, the arms trade, and the billions in American profit made from it.
Sadly, the answer, as we all know, is simply for money. Money that is drenched in blood, often innocent blood, in the face of the shameful and culpable silence, it is our duty to confront the problem and to stop the arms trade.
After the speech was done, the Pope left the chamber and went to honor a statue of the newest saint, Junipero Serra. He was an 18th century missionary from California, was beatified yesterday at the National Shrine here in Washington. He then appeared with Speaker John Boehner on the speaker's balcony to wave to the tens of thousands gathered on the west front of the Capitol to watch the speech on jumbotrons. The Pope had implored lawmakers to work together, to see each other's humanity, and to solve problems that matter to people.
Today, I would like not only to address you, but through you, the entire people of the United States, here together with the representatives. I would like to take this opportunity to dialogue with the many thousands of men and women who strive each day to do a honest day's work.
And then it was goodbyes. Into the famous papal fiat, the Pope went and pulled away from Congress. And then it was back to it. Congress is facing a shutdown next week. The Senate is holding a vote on a spending bill with a defund of Planned Parenthood this afternoon.